Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today we are continuing with our subject about Revelation. Our Bible text today is from Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Just recently I read the whole book of Revelation from beginning to the end. And it's a real blessing when you read a whole book in the Bible all at once, because you get so much information, so much background, you see the connections of it. We have studied before Christmas Revelation chapter part 1 and 2 and 3. If you haven't heard those messages yet, I ask you, go to Facebook, look it up. On the three Sundays before Christmas, we were talking about this subject, because you need to know what we are doing. You can only understand today's teaching and the teaching of the next few Sundays if you have heard the messages from the past. Chapter 1 was an introduction to the book of Revelation. Chapter 2 and 3 are the seven letters to the seven churches. And chapter 4 and 5, what we look at today, are an introduction to the prophecies about the future which will come from chapter 6 on. Let us read Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. John is starting his discourse with these words, after these things. What is after these things? Revelation was given to John after he had received the message to the seven churches. And after this, God has shown him certain things. Remember what we saw in the first part, chapter 1, verse 19. I'm talking about Revelation. It says, write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. So John was to write from his time to the end time. The whole time from his time through the centuries up to our time and what is still to come. We saw also that in the seven messages to the churches, that there was prophecy in it, prophecy for the different stages of the church which applied to every message. Also, now, after the messages were given to the churches, John is writing what is still to come. The word church, we know in part 2 and 3, we were talking about the messages to the churches. The word church does not appear in Revelation again until chapter 22, verse 16. This is significant because the church will not have part of the terrible scene of the Great Tribulation. The church will be taken off before that. And from verse 6 on, up to 22, you can see all the terrible judgment that God is going to bring upon this earth. So the voice that spoke to John was like a trumpet. It was not a trumpet, but it sounded like a trumpet. A long and a deep sound that was speaking to him. He called John up to heaven. And he was going to show John what was going to happen afterwards. As soon as John was caught up, he saw a throne. First thing in heaven, he didn't see people walking around here and there. He saw the throne of God. We read in Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was rainbow all around the throne in appearance like an emerald. It's significant that he saw the throne. The whole heaven is filled with the glory of God. And he sat on the throne of authority and sovereignty. God's glory was so magnificent that there were no words to describe the beauty of God and his throne. John tried to do it, and he could only do it with the things that he knew, with the precious stones. But the actual beauty was bigger than any of the precious stones. The Lord is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is overall perfectly described in the Old Testament as I am. I am no beginning, no end. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Great is the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Mighty is his appearance. We continue to read in verses 4 to 6. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thundering, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal.
Amen.
The sight of God's throne was both. It was magnificent and it was awe-inspiring. There is no one greater than God. He is creator, preserver, and governor of all things. The sight of him was a dazzling beauty and color. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all in one. We remember the rainbow. The rainbow was created by God to make a covenant with Noah after the flood. And this rainbow is there because it's brilliant. You have seen a rainbow, how brilliant it is. We can call him Father. And that is a great grace that we are able to call our God Father. The highest authority in heaven and earth. He has created the whole universe. And we can call him Father. What a grace. So when you pray, Father in heaven, always remember who he really is. There was a sea of glass. What does a sea of glass symbolize? It pictures the way of salvation. It's the living water of God, as Jesus described in John chapter 4, verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, and chapter 7, verse 38. There are 5 points to this. It flows from the throne of God, which means that salvation comes from God. And second, it is illuminated by the seven lamps. The Holy Spirit reveals the way of salvation to the fallen humanity. Number three, that those who have overcome the sinful world walk upon it. It is the path that is taken by the people of God that takes them into the presence of God. It is crystal clear. Crystal clear. The way of salvation is genuine. It's not tainted by sin in any way. And fifthly, it is reflective. It reflects the seven lamps. We remember the seven lamps, the seven spirits of God. And by implication, it reveals the spiritual condition of those who walk upon it. In other words, as the chosen of God, we come into contact with the gospel message, then they see themselves as sinners in need of salvation, in need of a savior. As if you look into a mirror, you can see when you look into the Word of God, into the crystal sea, you can see who you really are. This is some of the reasons why we can see the sea of glass as a picture of God's living waters. God's living waters presented in the way of salvation. And you know that Jesus said, "He who believes in me, out of his belly will flow living waters." To the woman in Samaria, he said, "If you would know who I am, you would ask for living water." In Christ, we have that living water. In front of the sea were seven lamps that were burning. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. As we learned in Revelation part 1, all the attributes of the Holy Spirit are combined in these seven spirits, sevenfold spirit. And there were 24 elders sitting on the thrones. They had white robes and crowns of glory. The white robes describe the righteousness of God. So when you are going to heaven, you will receive a white robe, a righteous robe. There are two words for Greek words for crown. One is Stephanos, and means the crown of the victor. And the other one is diadema, the crown of sovereign authority. Now God is sovereign. He is the highest authority. Peter wrote in the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Only royals sit on thrones. You cannot see a beggar sitting on a throne. The crown is the crown of victors, those who overcame, those who overcame all the temptations and all the troubles and all the tribulation. They are near God. They are honored with the presence of God. They rest in God. They're being fulfilled permanently in the place of his righteousness. Permanently, forever and ever, they're not being removed again. So who are these 24 elders? The Bible doesn't tell us who they are, but there are different opinions. Some say they are angels, but I don't believe that, because angels, they never sit on a throne, and they never wear a crown. So it cannot be angels. The ones receiving the crowns are humans. We can read in first letter of Peter, chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter 5, 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, and you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. We shall receive the crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And everyone who competes for a prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. And again, it speaks in 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So here, Paul is writing in different places a crown that we shall receive once we go to heaven. So the 24 elders are the redeemed ones. It is thought that it means the 12 patriarchs, the sons of Jacob, and the 12 apostles. But when we think of the apostles, which apostles are there? You know Judas, he betrayed Jesus and went to hell. So he's not there. So who was it? They replaced Judas with Matthias. But Matthias, you never read before that incident or after. But who was the real apostle? It is Paul. So when you think that there are 12 apostles are there, it would include Paul. But the Bible does not tell us who they are. And therefore, we just accept there are 24 elders. You can't do anything else. They worship God day and night. Day and night. That is the idea of going to heaven, to praise God, because it's so beautiful. Now we read Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. From the New Living Translation. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day, and night after night, they keep on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come."
Amen.
They were full of eyes all around them, so they could see everything. They're always present, they're not sleeping, they're not closing their eyes, they can see. It's noteworthy to see that throughout Revelation, the four living beings and the 24 old elders always are together. They always appear together. In many places in the Revelation, we come across the 24 elders and the four living beings, but they're always at the same time. The first one was like a lion. A lion symbolizes supremacy. The second was an ox, like an ox, symbolizing strength. The third one was a man, symbolizing intelligence. And the fourth one was an eagle, symbolizing swiftness. They stand for all that God is. God is everything. Praise the Lord. Their burden, their function was to glorify and honor God day and night. That's their purpose, to worship God continually. These living beings are or creatures, they show us something important that even creation, nature, owes worship to God, both man, herbs, and animals. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 21, because the creation itself will also be delivered. Have you ever read this verse? The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That means even the creation, which is decaying year after year, it's decaying and coming again, and that will stop. We read in the Bible of the trees that will bear fruit 12 times in a year. Every month they are bearing fruit. They're not decaying. So even the creation is looking for something that doesn't make them die. Heaven and earth will praise the Lord. The four living beings remind us of the cherubim of Ezekiel chapter 1 and the seraphim in Isaiah. In Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 10 says their faces look like this. Each of the four had the face of a man, and on the right side each had the face of a lion, and on the left the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. These were the cherubim. And Isaiah chapter 6 verse 2. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. With two they were flying. We've got this picture of a seraph, of a cherubim. The main difference between the types of heavenly beings is known, they are known as cherubim and seraphim, and the difference is their appearance. Cherubim have four faces and four wings, while the seraphim have six wings. In the Bible, the key role of both cherubim and seraphim is to sit at the throne of God and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We also have the picture of a seraphim with the six wings. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now we go to heavenly worship.
Yes.
In Revelation 4, 8 to 11. Each of the four living creatures had six wings. So they were seraphim. Each of the living creatures had six wings, and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creature give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our God and Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they were through you, by you they were created and have their being."
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly worship means to fall down before the throne, before him who sits on the throne, And it's a sign of honor, a sign of submission. Who can be before God and not worship Him? It's impossible. Even at the great judgment, when all the unbelievers will come and stand before the throne, they have to go on their knees and confess that He is Lord. Mm-hmm. But they go to the lake of fire, to their eternal punishment. But they, everybody has to wear, has to acknowledge that our Lord, Yahweh, Yahweh, or whatever you call Him, is Lord. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, as we are turning to chapter 5, we see God sitting on the throne. And we are reading Revelation 5, 1 to 6. And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. I underline this because we will come to that next week, especially. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. God had a scroll in His hand. Today we would say a book. That time they had scrolls. And it was written inside and outside. So there was a lot of material, a lot of things. And it was secret, and it was immense important, and that is why there were 7 seals. You don't seal a letter of no importance. You never receive a telephone bill with a seal on it. But this was an important document. In the books was God's will about the coming judgment, as we will see next week. No one was worthy to open the seal of the books. No one was able to even look at the scroll. It was so secret. It was so holy and so immense important. No one in heaven or on earth, no angel was able to open it. No cherubim or seraphim was able to open it. Nobody. But the Lamb, Jesus, is worthy to take the scroll and to open it. He is the Lamb that was slain for our sin. The Lamb takes away the sin of the world. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now we read chapter 5, verse 7 to 14. Verse 7 to 8. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. That means Jesus came and took the scroll out of the hand of God. Now when He had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Isn't that wonderful? You understand? The prayers of the saints are in the golden bowls. You, all those prayers that you prayed and have not been answered, they're still in heaven. They have not been forgotten.
Amen.
They're in the golden bowls, full of incense of prayers.
Amen.
Your prayers are in those golden bowls. All those prayers, you didn't see fulfillment. And you ask, is God really alive? Is he really true? I didn't get an answer to my prayers. But your prayers are up there.
Amen.
Waiting for the time, for the right time, to be answered.
Amen.
They have not been forgotten. They just wait for the right time.
Amen.
Then we continue with verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was, how many angels were there? One or two? No. Thousands upon thousands. 10,000s upon 10,000s. An immeasurable, uncountable amount of angels stood around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And they were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Amen.
Then the four living creatures said, amen.
Amen.
And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. This is a marvelous heavenly worship. Heavenly worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. What Jesus has done while he was on earth, when he died on the cross, to die for us, that has not been forgotten. It is remembered in heaven. Jesus still has the marks of the cross on his hands, on his feet, and on his side. He still has the marks. He will always have them as a remembrance of what he has done to save people. Myriads of angels were there with all the saints. They will give the kind of praise and worship that he is worthy of.
Amen.
Let us feel the spirit of what John saw. Let us feel in our spirit what he saw. God and his throne, the crystal sea, the seven lamps, the 24 elders and the four living beings. He who was ever had a scroll in his hand. Remember, God having this scroll in his hand, and only Jesus was worthy to take it, to open it, to read what is therein. We are reading not of a business meeting. Business meeting that will be passed at that time. It was not a meeting of democracy, voting for or against what God said. He is sovereign. What he says, there's no questioning. You do. When God speaks to you, you don't question, you do. To touch a God, to such a God, we can have access access. We have access to our God if we bow before Him. Whoever rejects Him has no part of Him. He will be under judgment. But you have been saved. You are a royal priesthood. You are the ones chosen to proclaim the gospel of salvation. To go into all the world is not only a duty, it's also a privilege that God counts us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He trusts in us. He trusts in you that you will fulfill that ministry. You are not proclaiming yourself. You're proclaiming one who created heaven and earth, the highest one. So don't be afraid of what people may say or do against you. Because you're not coming in your name, you're coming in the name of God the Almighty. Amen. So you must not be afraid of people. They have no idea what they are doing. Because they are blind, they cannot see. They don't understand. They are dead in their sin. So let us tell them of the wonderful salvation we have. Let us tell them of the hope that we have in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.